Welcome to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones. If you knew you had 24 hours to live, what would you say to each of the people closest to you? Your friends and family. You choose your words carefully. You wouldn't waste a single vowel. You'd craft letters, texts, and sentences like a master wordsmith. Today on Through the Word, we'll be introducing you to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a book where Moses only has 24 hours to live and gives his final parting words to the children of Israel, knowing he's going to die when he's done. George Whitefield once said that a minister should preach like a dying man to dying men. Moses knocks that ball out of the park in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible and the fifth of the books of Moses, called by the Hebrews the Pentateuch, or the five books. Well, here's part five of five. The Pentateuch would not have been complete if it had ended where Numbers did. Like an IKEA flat pack package, we're looking for five pieces because Deuteronomy really rounds out what happened during Moses' ministry. Deuteronomy means the second law in the Greek translation. Why is it called the second law? To answer that, I need to give a little background. Any relationship is based upon the standards of behavior. My wife expects me to be faithful to her and to take out the trash. That's a standard of our relationship. If I don't keep that one, the first one, not the trash part, it's a deal breaker. It destroys the agreement we've made with one another to have and to hold only her, forsaking all others till death do us part. My car dealership also expects me to make car payments if I want to continue to own the car I'm driving. Or in my friend relationships, I'm expected not to give wet willies to my compadres every 5 minutes, or I'll soon find myself alone and friendless. There are standards of any relationship, including our relationship with God. So Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy that God also has his standards. Every relationship has them. But even though Moses keeps telling them to obey, at the heart of it all is love and trust. It's in chapter 4 of Deuteronomy that we get the greatest commandment according to Jesus: love the Lord your God with all your heart. And this book is laced with obedience, but at its heart is love. Moses has just been wandering with the Israelites for 40 years before he stops and preaches to them. Now, they were wandering for 40 years because of their failure to love God, to trust him, and yes, to obey him. Remember that the first time Moses brought the law to the people, he'd been on Mount Sinai for 40 days meeting with God face to face, having his mind blown, getting an atomic tan as he basked in the radiance of God's holiness. But when he comes down, they're already worshiping an idol or another god, basically breaking the first five commandments. In shock and frustration, Moses breaks the tablets right there, smashing the stone they were written on. It's kind of like ripping up a contract in front of someone's face. That's because the tablets were actually like a contract. Think about the law as being like the terms I'd make with my wife or the Toyota dealership. There were obligations on both sides. The people were expected to worship God, love him, serve him, and obey him. And God, in turn, would protect, serve, and provide for them. But seeing that they'd already broken the contract, Moses was right in breaking the tablets on the spot. So the law had to be given a second time. Therefore, Deuteronomy is the second law. But even after that, the people didn't trust and obey God, so much so that they were forbidden to enter the Promised Land and cross over the Jordan River. Instead, they had to stay on the east side of the Jordan River until the entire generation of adults who had let God down, disappointed, and disobeyed died off. And now Moses is standing in front of that generation's kids, all grown up and ready to go 40 years later. The process of killing off that generation took 40 years, and Numbers, the Book of Wanderings, chronicles what happened during that time. Deuteronomy picks up immediately from there. So Moses parks them in the plains of Moab on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, with Jericho just on the other side. And Joshua will take that after Moses dies. But right before his death, Moses is going to preach to them about keeping the law before he sends them across the water to possess the land. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell sermon. It's his swan song. He knows he's going to die, and in chapter 1, verse 37, he reminds the people that he himself is not allowed to enter due to his own disobedience. He becomes a picture of what will happen to them if they serve other gods on the other side of the Jordan River. And I love this about God. Who better to preach a sermon about obeying than a man who's able to come up and say, look, I fell short. Use my life as an example. Well, Moses winds up to preach his sermons, and Deuteronomy is not just one sermon, but it's actually a collection of three speeches or sermons that Moses gives to them on a single day. Whereas Numbers covers a 40-year time span, the entire book of Deuteronomy happens over a mere 24-hour period. On that day, Moses preaches three sermons. The overarching message of all of the sermons is, be faithful to a faithful God. And these sermons will go on to be special to the people of Israel for generations. Chapter 31, verse 10 through 11 tells us that the book of Deuteronomy, or these three sermons, were to be read in full every single year in early October at the Feast of Tabernacles as a reminder to obey. You'll learn a lot about remembering, forgetting, and reminding in the book of Deuteronomy. After all, these are three of the key themes. So what are these three sermons about then? Well, the first sermon is the historic prologue in chapter 1 through 4. Moses catches them up to what happened to their fathers, how they got here, why God left their corpses in the sand, why are they standing here 40 years later instead of their parents, and what should they do next? Because like the old saying goes, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So Moses reminds them. The second sermon is about the covenant or contract they've entered into with God. This sermon is long and covers chapters 5 through 28. And you thought your pastor went long on a Sunday. Moses pleads with them to obey during these chapters and gives them practical application in serving God. He even has a sermon outline. He uses the Ten Commandments as his skeleton, expanding on each of them, unpacking them, fleshing out the entire law under those ten headings. If you're surprised by this, remember Jesus even reduced that to two, saying, love the Lord your God and love people like you love yourself. All of the commandments hang on those. But Moses, for the purpose of his sermon, uses the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments as his outline. Finally, the third sermon in this book is a final exhortation to obey or honor God in chapters 29 through 30. In chapter 31, Moses hands off leadership to Joshua. In 32, he sings a song, literally his swan song. And in chapter 33, he blesses the 12 tribes, much like Jacob did before he died. Lastly, chapter 34, Moses dies and we say goodbye to him and to Deuteronomy and what is known as the books of the law. For those who are into prophecy, there's some prophetic nuggets in there. Moses talks about a king coming, tribal settlements in the land, and finally about the exile and return from exile. That was kind of bad news. But what about authorship? Did Moses really write it? Some take the prophecy and insight into Israel's future disobedience as being proof it was written much later. But let's be honest, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that they were going to disobey. I mean, they didn't exactly have a stellar track record when it came to faithfulness. Reference Numbers. Some question how Moses could have pinned his own death, but let's not be naive. Most likely, Joshua was taking sermon notes when Moses was preaching. I doubt that Moses had time after he was done preaching that day to write it all down. Joshua is the logical choice since he was the next appointed leader, finishing what Moses started. Remember, even though we attribute authorship to Paul, Tychicus actually wrote most of the letters with Paul dictating to him. Not bad having a personal scribe. I'd like one. And it certainly doesn't affect authorship. Well, that's it for our summary today of the book of Deuteronomy and our basic outline. Enjoy your journey out of the wilderness and onto the banks of the Jordan as we study the book of Deuteronomy.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.